In my view, it is often an example of TMS neuralgia. Because TMS tends to involve so many different muscles and nerves in the neck, shoulders, and back. Temporomandibular disorder, or TMD, is a very common painful condition of the face that has historically been attributed to pathology of the jaw joint, or TM joint, and therefore has been in the dental domain. I have never treated this disorder specifically, but I'm strongly inclined to think that it is similar in cause to tension headache and TMS. TMS patients who come in for neck and shoulder pain frequently give a history of TMD, and the jaw muscle is tender to palpation, just like the shoulder, back, and buttock muscles. Inflammation must be discussed, for it is the explanation presented for many cases of upper and lower back pain, and is the basis for the prescription of both steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, such as cortisone, and non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, such as ibuprofen. Because of the magnitude of the back pain problem, these medications are widely used. Experience with the diagnosis and treatment of TMS makes it clear that the source of the pain is often neither spinal structures nor inflammation. An inflammatory process is an automatic reaction to disease or injury. It is basically a protective healing process. The response to an invading bacteria or virus is an inflammation. If that's what an inflammatory process is, what is going on in the back? Is it an infection? A response to a back injury? Or what? No satisfactory, scientifically supported answer has ever been given. I have suggested in this audio program that the source of the pain is mild oxygen deprivation and not inflammation. This idea has at least a modicum of support from the rheumatologic studies on fibromyalgia. The term sprain should be restricted to clear-cut instances of minor injury like turning the ankle. I am not sure what a strain is supposed to be. Unfortunately, both of these terms are often used when the symptom is a TMS manifestation. Having briefly reviewed these common traditional diagnoses for the varieties of pain we have discussed, let us now look at the conventional treatments employed. I once wrote that therapeutic eclecticism is a sign of diagnostic incompetence. The fact that there are so many different treatments for the common neck, shoulder, and back pain syndromes suggests that the diagnosticians are not really sure what the problem is. Of course, the patient is always given a diagnosis, usually a structural one. But subsequent management, including the use of medications, physical therapies of different kinds, manipulation, traction, acupuncture, biofeedback, transcutaneous nerve stimulation, and surgery, many of which are symptomatic treatments, suggests that the diagnoses are on shaky grounds. People with TMS need to know about these treatments so they can understand why they did or did not respond to them, or why they derived only partial or temporary benefit from them. In thinking about how to review the subject, it occurred to me that the best approach might be to consider each treatment modality from the standpoint of its intended purpose. Of course, all treatments are supposed to relieve pain, but the important question is, how? What is the rationale for each treatment? Before we get into this, let's discuss the subject of the placebo effect, because of its crucial importance in any discussion of treatment. A placebo is any treatment that produces a good therapeutic result despite the fact that it has no intrinsic therapeutic value. A sugar pill is a classic example. It is clear that the desirable outcome must be attributed to the ability of the mind to manipulate the various organs and systems of the body. In order to do this, the mind must believe in the efficacy of the treatment and/or the treater. The key concept here is belief. The patient must have blind faith. But If he or she does, the result can be impressive. Consider the following story, which was first reported by Dr. Bruno Klopfer in 1957. It concerns a man with a fulminating cancer of the lymph nodes who convinced his doctor to treat him with a drug called cribiazin. The man had a miraculous recovery with disappearance of his many large tumors. He did well until he heard news reports of the ineffectiveness of cribiazin, whereupon he regressed to the same desperate state in which he had been before. Impressed with his response to the treatment, the doctor told him he would give him injections of a more powerful cribiazin, but this time used only sterile water. Once more, the patient responded dramatically, and his tumors melted away. When the American Medical Association officially announced the decision that cribiazin was of no value, his tumors returned, and he died soon after. It is clear from this case history that a placebo works on the body, not the imagination. In this instance, it stimulated a vigorous response in the immune system that was able to destroy the tumors. Based on the impression that most of the pain syndromes I see are due to TMS, I have to conclude that beneficial results from most of the treatments to be described are the work of the placebo factor. If the pain in a given case is truly the result of an injury, if some structure has been traumatized, if a period of healing is required, then treatments designed to rest an injured part are logical. They include rest in bed, restrictions on physical activity, the use of cervical collars, lumbar corsets or braces, and the use of lumbar traction, which, as I mentioned, is really designed to keep the patient in bed, since the weights used could not possibly pull the spinal bones apart. The rest in bed is almost universally prescribed for patients thought to be suffering from a herniated disc. If, however, there is no pathological structural abnormality, if the person has TMS, the rationale is gone. Not only are these prescriptions of no value, but they contribute to an intensification of the problem by suggesting to the patient that there is something going on dangerous enough to require complete immobilization. As I emphasized earlier, even the perception of a physical rather than an emotional cause for the pain will perpetuate the symptoms. The collars and corsets used are a bit ridiculous, for they do not immobilize the part corseted. When someone reports feeling better or having become dependent on one of these, I think placebo. Pain relief is the goal of all treatment.